Good evening and welcome to this audio description of If These Spasms Could Speak at the Pleasance Courtyard. This production will last for just under an hour without an interval. Please be aware that the show features some strong language and one instance of gunfire. If These Spasms Could Speak is a one-man show written and performed by Robert Softley and created in association with The Arches. The play is a collection of funny, sad, touching and surprising stories about disabled people and their bodies, and was a sell-out hit at the Arches Behaviour Festival in 2012. If These Spasms Could Speak is directed by Sam Rowe, with lighting by Nick Smith and music by Scott Twineholm and Stuart David. The producer is Mary Taylor and the production manager is Emma Scare. In front of us is a small square stage, approximately 10 feet wide and 10 feet deep, and raised 2 feet from the ground. The surface of this platform is white, with a black cloth skirting hanging to the floor. In the centre of the platform is an armchair, upholstered tightly with white cloth. Behind the chair is a large white screen, upon which images and video footage are projected. As the audience take their seats, a cityscape of Glasgow city centre is displayed. As the play begins, the stage is gloomily lit in purple. From the left, Robert appears from behind a curtain and crawls to the front of the raised platform. He swiftly clambers onto the stage, then turns to face us. Robert is a dark brown-haired man in his early 30s. He is clean-shaven, with tanned, handsome features, brown eyes and a strong build, with broad shoulders and muscular arms. Due to his cerebral palsy, Robert moves by crawling. When the play begins, he's wearing a single-breasted blue-grey suit, white-collared shirt and dark brown leather shoes. Later in the play, Robert changes into denim jeans and a cotton t-shirt. If These Spasms Could Speak is based on Robert's own experiences of living with an impairment and interviews he conducted with other disabled people. As Robert performs these stories, a series of corresponding photographs are displayed on the screen behind. These photographs were taken in a room at the top of the Lighthouse Building in Glasgow city centre. The room has enormous glass panel windows reaching from floor to ceiling, from which Glasgow's varied architecture is visible. The floor is shiny and black, and the room is unfurnished. The photographer was Tommy Ga Ken Wan. To avoid confusion, I've included the names of the photographed people in this description. However, please be aware that their names do not appear in the play. Robert's script regularly moves back and forward in place and time, with one monologue merging fluidly into the next. As Robert introduces himself to the audience, a small blurred black and white painted image of his naked body is shown. He is turned away from us, cradling his left leg and looking left towards the floor. As Robert continues to speak, the image slowly morphs into a sharply defined colour photograph. Alongside the image, keywords from Robert's speech are displayed on the screen. Robert crawls nimbly into his chair and, with his arms outstretched, begins the first monologue. As he does so, a large colour photograph of a woman's chest appears on the screen behind. Her skin is tanned and freckled, with small wrinkles within the cleavage. She is wearing a silver necklace with a small circular pendant. Also visible is a glimpse of a silk purple corset. The next image is of a woman's right hand placed beside the electronic panel of a wheelchair's controls. The hand is pale and slightly chubby, with an elaborate silver charm bracelet on her wrist. On her forearm is a large navy blue tattoo of a thistle. The woman, called Nick, is now viewed from the side. She's a little over 3 feet tall, sitting in a black wheelchair with dark trousers and a tight red top. On her bicep is the tattoo of a snare drum. The next monologue, taken from Laura's experiences, is accompanied by a small black and white image of an arched forearm and hand. Robert performs this while slouched in his chair, with his feet planted firmly on the ground. Robert leaps up onto the arm of the chair. As he does this, a colour photograph of a young woman called Kate is displayed on the screen. This picture was taken from just above her right ear. She has short, slightly boyish dark hair with barely visible grey flecks. From her earlobe hangs a large multicoloured earring in the shape of a heart. Visible also is a blue shirt collar and a pair of large rimmed dark spectacles. Kate is now viewed in silhouette, standing beside a window in a stooped pose, with her right arm extended, clutching a vertical beam for balance. On the right and facing her is a black wheelchair. Complaining of the heat, Robert removes his jacket. While he does this, a large black and white photograph of him is revealed. He is sitting on the gleaming floor of the lighthouse building, bare-chested and looking down. He is wearing jeans, with his bare toes protruding and his muscular arms by his side. In the background is a blurred image of an elaborate sandstone rooftop. Next is another image of Nick, taken from behind and slightly above. She is seated in her wheelchair, gazing out to the Glasgow city skyline. She is facing rightwards, with her profile and body shape in dark silhouette. We now see an image of a woman looking out of the same window. Her hair is dark in a short bob. She is wearing a tight black body stocking, with black tights and black shoes with a high wedged sole. She is standing with her feet together, but with her right knee gracefully extended forward. Her left arm is pointing skyward, gripping the vertical beam, and her right leg is languidly extended directly ahead. The next black and white photograph is of a person sitting side saddle in their wheelchair. They are facing us. The head is not visible, but they are clutching the back of the wheelchair with the right hand, wearing thick black trousers and a plain shirt. The next section of the play concerns a visit to a hospital. A large bunch of green grapes on a white background is displayed on the screen. Offstage is the voice of a doctor who conducts an interview with Robert. While this takes place, the stage is lit once again in purple. Soon we see another image of Robert. He is sitting on the floor with his back to us. He is wearing jeans and a black t-shirt, which is pulled over his head, exposing his naked back. He is looking downwards, inspecting his forearms. The next monologue, during which a music festival is mentioned, is accompanied by a black and white photograph of a serious-looking man in his mid-50s. He is looking to our right, with his profile in shadows. He has a jowly face with unruly dark hair and thick eyebrows. There follows an image of four fingers of his left hand lightly touching the spokes of his wheelchair. His hand has light wrinkles and a number of small liver spots. There is a brief black and white photograph of Robert's hand on a bare wooden floor, with his fingers splayed and the light from a window cast across it. The next image is of Nick. In this photograph, she is clearly visible, sitting contentedly in her motorised wheelchair, staring straight ahead. Her hands are clasped across her stomach. We can see that she has shoulder-length dark brown hair, dark eyes, and red lipstick. The wall behind her is made from pale green wooden slats with mounted wall lamps. There follows a portion of video footage set to the music of Tchaikovsky's Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. A foot appears, moving slowly towards the camera. Wrapped around the instep is a tiny white lace ballerina's tutu. As the foot twirls and dances in time to the music, the underside of the toe rises up to reveal a smiley face written in biro. We now see two further photographs of Kate. The first is of her slender hand. The thumb and forefingers are gripping something, while her ring finger is extended with her pinky arched outwards. On her middle finger is a white glass ring with blue oval dots. The following image offers an unrestricted view of Kate. She's sitting on a small pale grey box. She is dressed stylishly with black trousers and a tight black waistcoat. Under that is an electric blue shirt with a cream tie. She is looking to her right towards her wheelchair. The next portion of script deals with Laura's anxieties regarding her bodily scars. We see a black and white image of her hands clasped tightly. Her hands have lightly freckled skin and long varnished nails. In the subsequent black and white still, Laura's head is not visible. Her right hand hoists her black t-shirt up, exposing her midriff. A long, deep scar stretches across her stomach. Her left hand is positioned below the scar, alongside her belly button. Robert is now the subject of a series of 9 stills, displayed one after the other. Robert stands, naked, with his back to the camera, looking out of the window with the Glasgow skyline beyond. He adopts the following poses: hunched, arms outstretched, kneeling with his arms out, standing with his arms out, bending over, with his right foot in the air, looking rightwards, and feet down with his eyes left. The final image is of Robert, again naked, sitting side on to the camera and looking pensively at the floor. His left hand is rubbing his chin. This photograph is in sharper focus and illustrates the hairs on his thighs and forearms. During Robert's final monologue, during which the composed music swells in volume, the words are displayed on the screen behind him in a variety of sizes and fonts. To recap, in front of us is a small square stage, approximately 10 feet wide and 10 feet deep, and raised 2 feet from the ground. The surface of the platform is white, with a black cloth skirting hanging to the floor. In the centre of the platform is an armchair, upholstered tightly with white cloth. Behind the chair is a large white screen, upon which images and video footage are projected. As the audience take their seats, a colour cityscape of Glasgow city centre is displayed. As the play begins, the stage is gloomily lit in purple. From the left, Robert appears from behind a curtain and crawls to the front of the raised platform. He swiftly clambers onto the stage, then turns to face us. Thanks very much for listening. I have been Christopher McKitty, and I hope you enjoy this production of If These Spasms Could Speak.